Corpus Christi!
Anya almost cringed at the volley of camera flashes that greeted her as she entered the lobby of the Mariapuri Hilton. The relative obscurity in which she labored as frequent talking head on Chasing History's Monsters had actually suited her just fine. Now, that comforting anonymity seemed to be getting stripped away. She had acquired her own swarm of paparazzi, all because of a perceived romantic connection with one of the world's most eligible bachelors, the young, handsome, charismatic, fabulously wealthy Sultan of Rimbaparak. She glanced at the hotel security men, mostly big Sikhs in dark suits with wires coming out of their ears, as they formed a cordon to hold the photographers back.
Miss Creed! Miss Creed!
Anya turned to see a pudgy Japanese man in a rumpled suit with his necktie tossed over one shoulder. He pushed his way clear of the Sikhs to run to her side.
Please! You have to use your influence to convince the Sultan to see me!
You and 10,000 others.
A pair of small but teak-hard Malay house detectives in plain clothes materialized from the potted palms beside the elevator to pin her supplicant's arms and keep him out of the car.
Obviously, you don't care about the suffering poor, Anya Creed!
As Anya entered the elevator, she caught one last glimpse of the man. His glasses askew, his sweat-sheened face distorted with passions she couldn't even guess at.
You're just like the rest! You want to deny the world the benefits of abundant energy! Free energy!
My best advice to you, sir, is not to even open that can of worms. Or you'll have worse problems than Sultan Wira to worry about.
Anya sat in a sidewalk cafe near the hotel, finishing her light breakfast and coffee before heading to the palace for a day of research. She watched as a pair of young men approached. Something about the purposeful way they crossed the street through traffic straight for her put her on guard. One was a young man with long swept back dark blonde hair. The other looked as if he might be a local. Like his partner, he was around 6 feet tall. He had a dark round face and a cap of wild black hair. The two walked up to the low ornamental wrought iron rail around the outdoor eating area. Anya saw them reach inside their jackets and her survival reflexes kicked in. She hurled her half-full coffee cup at the blonde man's face. He flinched, and a handgun came into view as his arm swatted out in protection. The dark young man by his side extended his arm and aimed. His bullets cut the air where Anya sat a heartbeat before. Anya scrambled on all fours to the door. Anya looked up as a stout man in a green tunic and a Nehru cap opened the door from the inside of the cafe, emerging with a cardboard carrier full of cups of coffee.
Get down!
Anya dove past the man and into the cafe. Anya managed to avoid knocking him over, but he was so startled he shied like a horse, throwing his cardboard tray in the air. Not looking back, Anya rolled to her feet and sprinted toward the back, into the kitchen. She passed several startled employees, then burst out a door into a narrow, evil-smelling alley. Anya stood with her back to the wall and her sword upraised in her hand, trying to maintain her composure. Glancing toward the mouth of the alley, she saw people running. As the door at her side opened, Anya tensed to swing, then opened her hand. The face of a waiter turned toward her in astonishment, a heartbeat after the sword vanished. Within moments, the alley had filled up with armed Sultanate security men. They scooped Anya up and whisked her off to the palace, where a worried Krishna had plied her with green tea and disconnected bits of advice. She learned that internal security had, in fact, been tailing her. They had quickly converged on the scene, opening fire and killing the blonde man as he tried to turn his weapon on them. The local-looking shooter had escaped into the crowd. Fortunately and amazingly, no bystanders had been hurt in the incident. She felt chagrined to have done nothing more than duck and flee. But with the Sultan's internal security types keeping close tabs on her, she was glad not to have used the sword. She had no idea how Wira would react if he found out about it. She didn't want to learn. The rest of the day, she had been left to her own devices to use the palace's extensive library and high-speed internet connections for research. The Sultan himself stayed occupied in other business of state. As urgently as he treated the problem of the stolen artifact, it was only one of many confronting his small nation, some of them of far more overtly threatening nature. But he turned up to check on her, as if to confirm to himself that she had come through intact. When Anya arrived back at the hotel that night, all she wanted to do was to take a bath and get some sleep. Anya opened the door to her suite and stepped inside. To her shock, two men rose from the comfortable settee in the sitting area to greet her.
You! Out!
But Miss Creed!
Aren't you even going to ask how Sharshak and I got in?
You listen to me, Hevelin. The first time I met you people, you kicked in my skylight and dropped through it shooting at me. I'm way past caring about how you got in. I want you out. Now!
Won't you at least tell us why you've betrayed us to the Sultan?
Anya glared at Sharshak. Then she crossed to a leather-covered chair and fell into it. Hevelin, taking her cue, also sat.
Let's get something straight, you two. First, I don't owe you anything. Nothing. I refused Cedric Millstone's attempts to hire me. I turned away yours.
Still, you did assure us you would not help our enemies to take possession of the relic.
And I'm not doing that.
But aren't you working with the Sultan?
I've agreed to help him recover the coffin from the pirates who stole it most recently. They murdered 24 of his men for it. They almost murdered one other commando, not to mention me. They've murdered hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years. Surely you don't think it should be left in their hands, gentlemen. Nor can you disagree with the idea of visiting a little old-fashioned retribution on them in the process, unless you believe that vengeance belongs solely to the Lord.
We'd make a poor military order if we did, Miss Creed.
But what about these reports in the media that you're... dating the Sultan?
Oh, please.
Sit, Sharshak. You make me nervous.
Listen to me. I am becoming friends with Sultan Wira. Nothing more than that, no matter what the gossip columnists say. I'm just an archaeologist. A minor cable TV celebrity, if you can even call me that. He's a sultan, for goodness sake. Nothing's going to develop between us. Things like that don't happen in the real world.
And the fact that you are an extremely attractive young woman doesn't enter into it, I suppose?
Right. Like the Sultan can't have supermodels throwing themselves at him anytime he cares to snap his fingers. They can't all be dating ballplayers and drug-addled rock stars. And even if we are friendly, that doesn't mean that I've agreed to let him keep the coffin once it's recovered from the pirates.
You think he'll hand it over to you just like that?
He's agreed to. So, yes.
And you believe he will honor such an undertaking?
Actually, I do, Hevelin. He appears to take honor as painfully seriously as you people do. And his commandos do. As you may recall, they died on that island to protect the relic from you.
Is that honor or fanaticism?
Where's the fanaticism? The Sword of the Faith killed Wira's father. They spent the last 10 years trying to kill him because he won't agree to turn the Sultanate over to them, especially with all this oil money pouring in. Meanwhile, he had this equally silly notion of you as Christian nuts who want to help bring Jesus back to judge the world in fire.
Us? If Frederick II was our founder and patron, what would he have said to such a project?
He probably wouldn't care for it any more than I do.
He's charged us with preserving the order of the world. Isn't that the opposite of bringing on a new crusade? Much less Armageddon.
We are men of faith, Anya. We are also men of science and the modern world after the spirit of our founder.
And that description perfectly fits what I've seen of the Sultan.
And whom do you believe then, Miss Creed?
Both of you. You boys need to get together and talk. What could be more in the spirit of your founder? He was best buds with the Sultan of Egypt.
Be that as it may, we must regain possession of the relic. It is our holy quest. It is our penance for our sins.
When we have the coffin back, I will arrange to have the appropriate archaeological authorities adjudicate its proper ownership. The Sultan has already agreed to this. When that happens, you can put forward your claims. I'll ensure they receive a fair hearing.
But
peace, Sharshak. We are dealing with a woman of principle and character. Contrary character, perhaps, but character. Hectoring her will only make matters worse.
Thank you.
I only hope your judgment is the equal of your resolution. The fate of the whole world could ride upon it.